This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Good morning, Who Dat Nation. It is September the 15th, a Sunday. Week 2 action getting ready to start on WWL. Well, heck, it is starting now. What am I talking about? Drink that cup of coffee.
Get ready.
We get ready for a noon start in Dallas. 1-0 Saints taking on the 1-0 Cowboys. Me, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele, bringing it till 10 a.m. That's when the Cajun Cannon will take over on the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff. And then, of course, game time. High noon in Dallas, Jerry's World. What a gorgeous stadium, but the Saints going to take it over today. Noon start with Deuce McAllister, Mike Hawes, Jeff Nowak on the sideline. Big one for the black and gold, obviously, in week two. Hopefully they can continue a bunch of that positive momentum for week one where they outscored the Carolina Panthers by 37 points. And I know, you take that one game and you kind of have the 24-hour rule like the players and coaches, but man, oh man, it was kind of nice riding high off of that all week.
Yeah, it had people fired up. And like when you're in the NFL and you're playing a game and basically at halftime you're feeling like you can kind of coast to a victory because they were up 30-3 at halftime and the 3 points they gave up was at the final like 2 minute drive.
That right, like you said, you're feeling like we got
you're
this.
You're up 30-0 going to halftime at 30-3.
It's all lanyap after
it
that.
It is the nicest thing in the world to just be kind of like kicking back like I don't have to worry about this game at all. And, you know, to the people that kept saying, oh, it's just the Panthers. Like, look, I get it. The Panthers are going to be competing with teams like the Giants and, you know, maybe like some other squads that are at the bottom of the league for that top overall pick this upcoming year. But at the same time, what do good teams do to bad teams?
Decimate.
They smoke them. 37 points. Come on now. So now you're going into a game against a legit Dallas Cowboys squad. And as you mentioned about AT&T Stadium, Jerry World, they've been tough to beat there, Steve. So I looked up a little bit of history here.
Yeah.
The Cowboys, you know what their winning streak is at home?
I know they didn't lose last year at all.
And it is 16 games.
16 straight.
In the regular season.
Right. Because
you remember, you will recall, they got smoked by, you know, the Green Bay Packers, that young Packers squad led by Jordan Love last year in the playoffs. And that's been their issue. Like, they've been such a good, consistent regular season team. But when they get to the playoffs, they just kind of lose it.
Man,
right?
Right.
Like, nothing. They come up flat. But still, 16 straight regular season victories at home. And I was like, what's kind of the history of that? Like, that seems really, really long. The longest of all time is the Dolphins dating back to the 70s, which was 27. So they still got a ways to go to reach like that mark,
yeah.
Right? But it's still a very, very impressive home winning streak. The Saints have to go in there and prove everybody wrong because they're, even with that performance against Carolina, winning by 37 points, they're still 6.5-point underdogs in this game. And that kind of tells you something because if you go back and look at the Cowboys games at home last year, a lot of their games, you know, you got to take it with a little bit of salt because the opponents that they were playing weren't very good. But they blew out a lot of teams at home.
Hey, like we were saying with the Panthers, though, you got to just beat the team that's in front of you.
Correct.
So.
And at the same time, I think that's what made their playoff loss so surprising was that this was a team that was so dominant at home all season long, and then they just get blown out. It was just kind of out of nowhere. So the Saints will have to do something that no team has done for basically the past 2 years, and that is beat the Cowboys and Jerry World in the regular season. So we'll see what happens.
Like Han Solo says, never tell me the odds.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely looking forward to this one. Obviously a big-time matchup. Everybody's still Maybe not everyone, but definitely the folks in Dallas consider the Cowboys America's team. You constantly hear that. Yeah. I really don't know how that ended up taking over and becoming a thing, because to me it would be maybe America's team more like the Saints, just because of their, you know, you're down and out losers typically, and people end up and rooting for the underdog.
Yeah, I love like the what Bobby was talking about last year when the playoffs are starting, like the blue collar Super Bowl that would have been like the Lions versus the Browns or something like that, right?
Right.
I think like the America's team stuff all started, like, they haven't won a Super Bowl since before I was born. So I'm putting that into perspective a little bit. I have never seen,
putting that there, right?
Since I have been alive, I have never seen a Cowboys Super Bowl. So, I mean, all their accolades, all that stuff was all the way back in the 90s. All I've known from the Cowboys, really good regular season success, and they come up flat in the playoffs. So, granted, this is the regular season, so the Saints will have to do something, once again, that not many teams have done in the past few years. I think back-to-back-to-back 12-win seasons for this Cowboys squad. So, they're obviously a great regular season bunch. You just got to figure out how to take them down.
No, definitely, like you mentioned it right there, it's definitely the scary regular season success, and that's all we care about today. And that streak on the line in at Dallas right now going on. Hopefully the Saints can snap that streak. Looking at some of the banged up players in this one, this LCMC health update is brought to you by LCMC Health. 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. Guys, right now for this matchup going into the noon kickoff, we've got 2 players that are out. DeMarco Jackson, Colin Saunders, your linebacker, defensive tackle, both dealing with calf injuries there, so they are out for this matchup. Meanwhile, quite a few banged up and are questionable. We saw defensive tackle Brian Brzee dealing with an illness. Isaiah Foskey popped up with a calf injury. He's also questionable. Linebacker Jalen Ford, a hamstring issue, was limited all week. He's questionable. And then 2 big ones here. Taliesi Fuaga, dealing with the back. He was limited on Wednesday, but then didn't practice on Thursday or Friday. Is listed as questionable for this matchup. And then in corner, Marshawn Lattimore, didn't practice all week. He's questionable with that hip/hamstring issue. Definitely a huge concern going in there, because when you think of the Dallas Cowboys, obviously Dak Prescott and one of the top receivers in the game in CeeDee Lamb, and you figured Marshawn Lattimore would be mostly covering him.
Yeah, so real quick, with Taliese Fuaga and then Lucas Patrick as well, Nowak put this out on Twitter last night, and it's a great point, that Ugo Amadi and Isaiah Stallbird were the 2 elevations for the Saints from the practice squad.
Yeah.
They didn't elevate any linemen, which, you know, as far as we know, Fuaga right now is listed as a game-time decision, right? He traveled with the team to Dallas, which is a good start, but they're going to have to wait to see probably through warm-ups and stuff to see if he'll be able to play. But the fact that they didn't elevate a lineman is probably a good sign that he will play. You don't want to say anything just yet, because we're not for certain, like, sure that it's going to happen. But, I mean, they could really use him against this Cowboys pass rush. You already have Micah Parsons on one side, likely be going against Trevor Penning in this game. But on the opposite side, DeMarcus Lawrence is really, really solid too, and can hold his own as a defensive end as well. So, really strong pass rush. We'll continue to preview this Cowboys squad as we go along. It's a really good team top to bottom. It's going to be a great test and a litmus test early on this season for the Saints.
And Cullen just passed this along to me from Ian Rappaport, who tweeted out, he's an NFL Network insider. Right. Saints will be cautious with star corner Marshawn Lattimore, who is questionable with a hip and hamstring issue. He's pushing a play, but it's a long season, and him being healthy is paramount. He'll work out this morning to see. So another game-time decision there. We'll be monitoring, obviously, when we talk to Deuce later on.
Yeah, it's a hamstring thing, right?
Yeah.
That was something Mike had brought this up, that it was something that he had dealt with a lot at Ohio State.
Correct.
And that's probably the reason why he fell all the way down to where the Saints picked at 11. So, you know, but this was back in 2017. So it's been something that's kind of bugged him throughout his career a little bit.
And just, unfortunately, injuries the past 2 seasons have been a bugaboo for Marshawn.
We know that it's minor. Like, that's the good sign. We know that the hamstring injury is minor, but if you want to be better safe than sorry, just let him sit. It's okay. I mean, like, it's not okay necessarily, because you are going up against a top 3 receiver in the league. I mean, it's like Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, and I guess like Ja'Marr Chase. Like, you can say he's top 5. I think he's top 3. CeeDee is just that electric. And so you would love to have your top corner, your star cornerback, going up against him for this matchup. But if he can't go, the good news is that you feel great about the depth at cornerback.
I was going to go right there, exactly.
So the game that Alante Taylor had last week was fantastic, and he's obviously the slot corner. But you also have Paulson and Debo. You have Kool-Aid McKinstry. You're feeling pretty good about that spot. And you also elevated Ugo Amadi as an extra defensive back if you need it. So, yeah, I mean, it's obviously a huge loss if the Saints don't have Lattimore going up against someone like CeeDee Lamb, because I think he would be the guy probably traveling and trying to blanket him. But we'll have to see. I mean, he's probably just like Fuaga going to maybe be a game time decision. But if Rappaport's saying that they're going to be careful with him in a long season, it kind of leads me to believe that they're probably not going to play him.
With Alante having that, you know, great success early on in the slot, we've seen, well, maybe he's adjusted to the position. I know last year was a little more difficult to him. If Lattimore can't go, you definitely have, obviously, Paulson Adebo outside. Do you put the rookie Kool-Aid McKintry then outside, or do you move Alante?
I think it's actually an interesting question, because I also think it's fascinating because CeeDee Lamb is not just a purely outside receiver. He plays in the slot a bunch.
Right.
I would need to look up the stats about what percentage of snaps he takes in the slot. But Alante Taylor, if you have him in the slot and you're confident in him as a slot corner, I mean, he's probably going to be matching up against CeeDee at points in this game. So we'll have to see.
The one thing that is a big question for me going into this matchup for the Cowboys, really not sure about their run game. They brought back Ezekiel Elliott, let Tony Pollard go, and then there's really, you look at the names on their depth chart in that running back room, and it's a lot of question marks there.
It was okay in week one against the Cleveland Browns, which, by the way,
impressive though, right?
Super impressive victory, 33-17, and it really wasn't that close. I mean, I know that Deshaun Watson is probably catching a ton of heat from Cleveland Browns fans and Cleveland sports radio folks because,
as Bobby would say, stealing money.
He's stealing money for one, and you see the success that Baker Mayfield's having in Tampa.
Oh, right. They move on from Baker. Look at the success there. And now, boom, your guy that you doled out all this money for and that guaranteed cash for him.
It's tough because the thing with the Cowboys rushing attack, Ezekiel Elliott led the team last week in rushing attempts with 10. So it wasn't necessarily even like he had a huge workload. But he didn't really need to have one because it was such a blowout. At the same time, he had 40 rushing yards, so four yards per carry is always decent. As a team, the Cowboys ran 25 times for 102 yards, good for 4.1 yards per carry. So the carries are split up a little bit. Like Zeke had 10, Rico Dowdle, who's their backup running back, had 8. CD had a couple carries as well, and then everything else was just kind of spread around. So 25 carries, 102 rushing yards, 4.1 yards per carry, a long rush of 12 yards in that game against the Cleveland Browns. So it was a solid debut performance for them. It wasn't what the Saints did to Carolina, and that's what we'll bring up multiple times throughout this game is how important it is for the Saints to build on that performance with the rushing attack, because when you have the pass rushers that Dallas has, as I mentioned with DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons, the best way to neutralize that threat is to just go right at them, right? And Mark Schlereth said it's like the bend your neck play. It's like it's something that Rico Dennison, the run game coordinator for the Saints, first year run game coordinator, he had spent time, you know, with the Vikings. Apparently he also spent time in Denver when Mark Schlereth was playing there. He said Rico loved these plays where you just try to bully the opponent, where even if like you're in a situation where it's not likely to work necessarily as far as the run game goes, just try and like bend their neck, so to speak. And so we'll see if the Saints can do that this week against the Cowboys defense that, you know, when they were playing the Cleveland Browns this past week, the Browns didn't really have the fortune to run the ball often because they found themselves in such a big hole.
Yeah,
but they still had decent success. Like, we talked about how good the Saints rushing attack was week one against Carolina.
Right. Jerome Ford ended up with pretty decent numbers, right?
The whole team did.
Okay.
So, as far as the Saints go, like, they had 4.9 yards per carry against Carolina. They ended up with a total of, let's see here, it was 180 rushing yards on 37 carries. I mean, the volume was there.
Yeah.
So the numbers were there. 4.9 yards per carry. With Cleveland, and Cleveland's rushing attack was a strength as well, they averaged 4.9 yards per carry, but they had 19 attempts. It was 19 for 93. So when they were able to run the ball, they found some success against this Dallas Cowboys defense. And that's probably what the Saints are going to have to do early and often this year, or this week, as far as kind of keeping that pass rush at bay.
Definitely got the coffee flowing early on this morning. The good thing, Charlie, I mentioned to you, we didn't have a late night LSU game, so we're not dragging too badly this morning. LSU getting that
right.
Really tough 36-33 win at South Carolina. That was a definite must-need for the Tigers there. I know the team struggled most of the way, but the Tigers thankfully ended up finding a way to pull it out in the end. But boy, oh boy. You know, a little off topic here. Those LSU Tigers got a lot to work on for sure.
We have a text here, Steve.
Yeah.
Said, quote my fear, the D-line last week got pressure but had zero sacks, and the run D is shaky. And then O-line, man, oh man, Carme gets sacked 5 times a day. Color me worried. Yeah, I mean, it starts up front. If you're going to pull off an upset against this team that once again has won 16 straight home games.
Well, to be fair, though, the team did have four sacks. Nobody on the line necessarily registered a
sack.
Yeah,
Alante Taylor was getting after
three, and then DeMario had another, right?
Correct. But the thing is, last week with the Cowboys, I mean, yes, their pass rush is legit. They had six sacks against Deshaun Watson. And you know, I was hearing jokes that, like, Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, the Cowboys' defensive line was in the backfield more than, you know, Deshaun Watson was.
Yeah.
And then they allowed three against a really good Cleveland Browns defense. So it's going to be interesting to see, like, because, I mean, pressures and hurries are still good, right? They can force incompletions. They can force interceptions. Like, if you're getting after the quarterback, I think Chase Young had a good debut performance. He didn't get a sack. That's okay. He was still getting after Bryce, forcing some incompletions. There was a reason that Bryce was, like, 13 of 30 in that game. So if you can get after Dak, and this is going to be one of the keys that we'll talk about the whole show, because Deuce talked about it, Mike talked about it, we have all these bites and all this sound that we'll get to. If you can get after him with that front four and get pressure on him, force him into some batting completions, maybe a pick, like, that's all you really need. As far as the pass protection goes, six sacks from the Cowboys last week, if you have that on Derek Carr this week, you're in trouble. At the same time, you don't want to get into those obvious, and third down, once again, we'll get more into this, third down's the money down, right? Like we always talk about. If you get into those third and long situations, obvious passing downs against the Cowboys where you're in like third and nine, third
and
10, you're in trouble, which is why the run game is so, so important. Early down success is going to be huge in this game.
Yeah, you look at this Cowboys squad, obviously a menacing front there on defense. You have to worry about the offense. We'll get into some numbers, like you said, a little later on. Dennis Allen has had some pretty good success scheming against Dak Prescott.
Oh, okay.
Going to take a break. We'll be back with more First Take. Want to hear from you on the Oakwin Heart Jewelers talk and text line. What you doing this morning on game day, folks? 504-260-1870. Want to hear from you as we get ready for that noon start against the 1-0 Dallas Cowboys. Coming back with more First Take after the break right here on WWL. Who dat?
They have great scheme, along with really, really good talent. And so we'll definitely have our work cut out for sure.
Derek Carr talking about this Dallas Cowboys defense. The Saints will be taking on today right here on WWL Saints Radio, a noon kickoff in Dallas. And wasn't the, you know, most impressive outing from Derek Carr in that opener, but he was efficient, did what he had to do, completing 19 to 23 passes, 200 yards, and three touchdowns. So like I said, really efficient in what he did against that Panthers front. We would love to see that, obviously, today against the Dallas Cowboys. I think the biggest thing for him when we talked about this pressure that you expect from this D is not holding on to the football, which I thought was absolutely a huge surprise to me in game number one. The whole offense seemed to be moving a lot quicker. They seemed to be in tune, and I didn't expect that right away when you were learning a new offense here under Clint Kubiak. It just seemed very efficient.
So one thing that stands out as well, the Carolina Panthers defensive front is awful. I mean, the Saints offensive line was definitely the surprise of the game because they were expected to be awful.
Yeah.
But they held up very nicely, gave up one sack, and only one quarterback hit. And by right off the stats there, but the thing that stands out to me, a 142.5 passer rating in that game for Derek Carr. Keep him upright and let him cook. Now, the thing with the Cowboys defensive front, man, they they got after Deshaun Watson. And six sacks, as we mentioned, but the quarterback hit, Steve, 17. Like, even
just
when
abused.
Yeah, even when Deshaun was getting the ball out in that week one matchup, that blowout that the Cowboys had in Cleveland, which, by the way, Cleveland was really good at home last year, too. And a big reason of it was their defense. I think their defense gave up like 13 points per game at home last year. They were like 8-1 in Cleveland. And Dallas just, I mean, treated them like they were 1-8. So, but a big reason for that was the offense wasn't able to do anything because when Deshaun Watson was asked to pass the ball, once again, six sacks and 17 quarterback hits. I mean, this is a huge test for the Saints offensive line.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, that's just what I'm saying. Like, can these young tackles hold up? Like, Trevor Penning had a really strong week one performance, but now he's going up against Micah Parsons. You're going to have to chip, right? And there's times where I think it was against that Cleveland Browns squad where They tried to chip him a couple different times, and he still got through. Because it's just Micah Parsons. He's a monster.
See, I was interrupting you, and you had a perfect segue, because here is Derek Carr talking about Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
He's so fast. He's powerful. Plays extremely hard. He's one of the best players in our game. You know, you turn on the tape, and he reminds me of Von Miller all those years that me and Von were, battling, two times a year. He really reminds me of Von with that explosiveness, that get off, his understanding of what they're trying to do to him and those kind of things. Very, very impressive.
And obviously this defense isn't just Parsons, but he's a huge piece to it. And you mentioned, Carr mentioned right there, comparing him to a guy like Von Miller, mighty impressive
That's a cool comp. I've actually never heard that, but I see it 100%. And Mike called him the straw that stirs the drink for the Dallas Cowboys defense. And he's completely correct. With Micah Parsons, the Cowboys already gave CeeDee Lamb a gigantic contract. Once again, as we mentioned in the first segment, a top three receiver in the NFL. They gave Dak Prescott $60 million per year, which, I mean...
Good for you.
Yeah, look, and once again, and Dak is a good regular season quarterback, but can he get it done in the postseason? That's yet to be determined. But as far as regular season success, as I mentioned, Mike McCarthy and this Dallas Cowboys squad, three straight 12-win seasons. That's not nothing, right? The next guy to get paid is going to be Micah Parsons. And so when you have that much money tied into, three players... It kind of makes team building a little bit more difficult, but at the same time, and I don't necessarily think Dak is a top three quarterback, but when you have a top three pass rusher and Micah Parsons and a top three wide receiver and CeeDee Lamb, the markets for good edge rushers and good wide receivers is kind of through the roof right now. You want to keep those guys on your team. You want to pay them. You got to do it. So, with Micah, he's going to be the next guy that Jerry's going to open the checkbook for, and he's going to have to pay him. But because basically what he's done since he's been drafted out of Penn State, as Derek Carr mentioned, he's been one of the best players in the NFL.
Yeah, unfortunately for the Cowboys, the results of them drafting so well is you end up having to pay these guys.
Exactly, and they have drafted well.
Right.
And so Micah Parsons was a first-round pick. CeeDee Lamb was a first-round pick, and both guys have lived up to that billing. Micah is going to get paid, and it's going to be tough for Jerry to do so because at that point, how do you dish out the rest of your money because you have so much of your cap tied into those three players. But that's your core. That's the core of your team. So,
yeah, looking at the Dallas Cowboys overall, I guess considered one of the favorites in the NFC, but yep. It seems like a step down from what folks were at least thinking of when you throw the top team, obviously a San Francisco 49ers, who, man, they're dealing with some problems of their own right now.
Yeah, but they still looked really impressive against the Jets in week one.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Jets had
a good D, right?
Entering the season, too. Yeah, a good defense, and Jordan Mason kind of ran all over them. That was interesting. as far as the NFC goes, the NFC East is, it's about as separate as you can get, right? Where you have Dallas and Philly.
Right.
Which are the two teams that are going to be competing for not just playoff spots, but trying to get to the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl, right? And then on the opposite side, you have Washington and New York, who are kind of battling it out in the toilet bowl today. So, the Giants are one of the worst teams in football. They're going to be battling for a top spot. I was pretty impressed with Jaden Daniels in his week one performance against Tampa Bay. I know that they got killed. It was, 41-17 or something like that. 20-37? Oh, wow. It's actually a little bit better than I expected. But as far as, that week one performance from Jaden, he looked poised against a pretty tough Buccaneers defense.
Had plenty of those rushing yards.
Yeah, going against Todd Bowles as a DC in your first game in the NFL, it's got to be pretty tough, right? But Jaden was pretty impressive. At the same time, there's that gap, right? That's my entire point of going on this little spiel. There's a pretty big ocean-sized gap between Philly and Dallas, and then in the bottom half of the NFC East with Washington and New York.
Going to be interesting, obviously, too, today to see what's going to make of this Saints run game that had some success in the opening game, because I think this is one of those games where you need your best players to be your best players, and a heavy dose of Alvin Kamara would be really nice against this Dallas Cowboys team to keep that pressure from coming on Derek Carr and that, the pass rush coming from the Dallas Cowboys. And will they be able to open up those rushing lanes? Because that's the one good thing, at least being on top of the dome in the press box. It was pretty impressive to see what the O-line was able to accomplish for the Saints against the Panthers in week one, because you saw the lanes, you saw those openings. And can that continue into week two against a much stiffer test? We keep talking about the Dallas Cowboys front. But the O-line for the Saints, they definitely deserved a lot of credit in that opener. Can they continue to have that success? We know that, you know, Fuaga dealing with the back issue is a main concern. If you're he can't go and you need to put, say, like a Landon Young over at left tackle, how much help are you going to have to give Young? And then does that take away from what you're giving Trevor Penning for help?
So, as we mentioned with DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons, they combined for three sacks against three of the six sacks against Cleveland. And quarterback hits. Micah had one sack, but he had five quarterback hits. DeMarcus Lawrence had two sacks and four quarterback hits. As far as the Saints, 37 rushing attempts against Carolina. The volume has to be there, Steve.
Yeah.
The volume has to be there because, you know, 4.9 yards per carry, if you keep running it down their throat, there's nothing they can do. Like, you neutralize that threat from Lawrence, Parsons, that Cowboys pass rush, if you can effectively run the football. And while the Browns were effectively able to run the football, they didn't have, you know, the volume, right? They had 19 carries. The Saints had 37 in their week one game. If the Saints get anywhere near that, right, like 35-plus carries in this game, it means the offense is running efficiently. And then they have a shot to pull off this upset. You don't want Derek Carr throwing the ball 45 times in this game. That is not anywhere close to what you want. You would be more confident in the Saints' ability to pull off this upset if they were closer to 40 rushing attempts. Then you're feeling good because that means that you're moving the ball downfield, you're controlling the clock, you're keeping the Cowboys' offense off the field, you're keeping your defense rested, and you're putting up points. Like, you're getting, like, these long extended drives, you're getting down into the red zone, kicking field goals or scoring touchdowns. So if the Saints can get those rushing numbers, and I'm looking, like, yards are one thing, average is another, but just get those attempts up. You know what I mean? Because if you can average close to 5 yards per carry, which they did in week one, and which Dallas gave up in week one, I mean, their offense should be running pretty smoothly, Steve.
Guy that's seen this defense up close and personal a whole bunch, the voice of the Cowboys, Brad Sham, dropped by the fans in the Pro on Friday talking to Deuce McAllister and Mike Hoss. Here's what Brad Sham, voice of the Cowboys, had to say about this Dallas defense.
Well, I hope it's for real, but, you know, they've played one game under a new system that is drastically different. What Dan Quinn did here the last 3 years was really important because when they came in 2020, Dan and that defensive staff were not here. And they had statistically, I believe I'm right in this, they had statistically the worst defensive year they'd had in the history of the franchise in 2020. Now, I understand COVID, no training camp, but you don't have to be the worst you've ever been. But they were. So he changed the entire staff and hired Dan. And what Dan did in terms of bringing in personnel, literally changing the entire defensive culture, was critical to them being able to win 12 games 3 years in a row. And Dan likes kind of different players than Mike Zimmer likes. And so last year's a great – I thought the last 2 years – they were not their strongest in December, which you want to be. And last year especially, they had an injury or two, and so they had safeties playing linebacker, which is kind of okay with Dan because he wants fast players and players who are built like Jayron Kearse, who had a couple of great years here. Mike's different. And so they're very fortunate to have a guy like Parsons who, as Deuce says, can play almost anywhere. And they'll show him everywhere. But it's night and day, the linebackers, from anything they've had in the last 3 years and the way they use them. And even without Deron Bland, I think their secondary is solid. Now, it'll get tested this week. But I think the secondary is solid. The linebackers are a plus. I think that, you know, the funny thing is, Deuce, they literally remade their defensive line in the last week and a half of camp when they brought in Jordan Phillips and Linval Joseph and Lawson, who's on the practice squad. I mean, those guys weren't there, and they had to have them. They just were not going to be good enough in the defensive line. Well, now they might be able to be competitive, and And because the linebackers are have the skill sets that they do, it gives them a chance. I have just seen too many to get too excited after one game. I do love watching Parsons. I think DeMarcus Lawrence is so solid. He's a tremendous run player. Could play for my team any day. I think that Oso Digizua is a vastly underrated tackle, and I think everybody who gets an opportunity to watch DeMarvion Overshown, who had never seen him in school, that he's a treat to watch. He is very fast and physical. So those are all good things. But Cleveland had one set of looks. You know, Deshaun Watson hadn't played much football in 2 years, and that's not what they're getting in Derek Carr. And so I think Cleveland was somewhat hampered, and Njoku went out early in the game, and the Saints show them something completely different. So, Deuce, when they have played, they're going to get Baltimore next week, and then I think the Giants. Yeah, when we get into that part of the calendar, then we can talk about whether their defense is for real, but that, based on one game, it was encouraging.
And now that's the voice of the Dallas Cowboys, Brad Sham, right there. And like Saints fans, I think like most of us, he's kind of in that motion going, all right, nice showing week one. Let's not overhype or get over like too high off of things right now. Let's see what they do. Obviously, loved the comparison when he was talking about Deshaun Watson not playing a ton of football
versus
a guy like Derek Carr, who's been there, done that right now, and is, I guess you would say, you're more comfortable with him running your team offense than a Deshaun right now.
And we'll hear Brad talk about the offense later on as well, where he talks about Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and the offensive weapons, the rushing attack as well. He's not really counting the chickens before they hatch, so to speak, with this Cowboys defense. Mike Zimmer, good point. We haven't even brought it up yet.
Yeah.
First year at DC, now that Dan Quinn was hired on as the head coach of the Washington Commanders.
We remember him from his days with the Vikings.
The Saints are very familiar with Mike Zimmer. Now, it was Sean Payton that was mostly familiar with him, but we'll see what happens with Clint Kubiak. There's some similarities there, or familiarity there as well. So, but as far as what you saw week one against Cleveland, it was a dominant performance on the road against a good Browns team. The Saints have their hands full with this Cowboys defense. As, you know, Brad talked about, they have good players at every level, especially up front with the pass rush.
Right.
But that Trevon Diggs is a corner that they paid, a guy that, you know, is a couple years removed from, an 8-interception season. If I'm correct there, it might have even been more than that. I'll have to look that up. They have good players at each level. And so this is a team, there's a reason why they're one of the top teams in the NFC expected to be competing for not just a playoff spot, but looking to try and get to the Final Four of the NFC.
A step up in competition.
Oh,
definitely
sure.
Looking forward to the noon kickoff right here on WWL Saints Radio. You can catch 10 o'clock will be the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon. Get his take on this big matchup between the Dallas Cowgirls, as he calls them, which I absolutely love. Want to hear from you on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. It's 504-260-1870. How you doing this pregame at getting ready for a Dallas squad that is also 1-0 and definitely one of those teams you consider a measuring stick as you go forward now? Nice showing against the Panthers. Now what can the Saints do against the Cowboys? We'll be back with more audio and our takes right here on First Take after the break on WWL.
He's so innovative. He's so good at anticipating what other teams are trying to do and creating complex equations for them to try to figure out in the middle of the game.
That is DeMario Davis talking about Saints head coach Dennis Allen. We know he's got a great defensive mind in the last three games for Dak Prescott against the Saints. DA's been in his bag, I'll say. Dak's completed 71% of his passes, 710 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and has been sacked a total of 9 times. We'll take that going into this matchup for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And real quick, I was a little bit incorrect about Trevon Diggs. He had 11 interceptions that one season that he was, you know, elite, a Pro Bowl caliber player, All Pro caliber player.
Don't shortchange.
A couple things about Trevon Diggs, real quick, Steve. We have a text here from 8942. Olave, what's your thoughts? He's going to get some tough top cornerbacks today. Will he show up? I say no. He is all of you fooled. A top tier number 2, yes, but not a number 1. Listen, man, Olave had a very quiet week one, and he didn't even need to have a big week one because the Saints were just killing the Panthers.
That's what I keep telling you. He didn't need to, thankfully.
Correct. Now, a couple of things. NFL.com
they need him today.
Great article about Trevon Diggs in that week one performance against the Browns. Quote, Diggs surrendered only 23 yards on 6 completions after Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson threw his way 9 times as the primary defender in coverage, in addition to his interception. So he had a week one pick as well. We didn't mention that yet. As far as, you know, the passer rating, he registered a 30.6 defensive passer rating allowed, the third best in the NFL among players who were targeted at least 5 times in week one. Trevon Diggs is going to be a test for Chris Olave. But in this article via Garrett Podell, he was asked earlier on in the week during a presser about Chris Olave and, you know, what kind of challenge that will present him. And he had a pretty funny response. He said, quote, is this a trick question? He's a good player. And that was it. So, like, yeah, they know about each other. They're going to be going up against each other. Who wins that matchup will be gigantic. As I mentioned, I mean, Trevon Diggs just dominated against Cleveland, as basically the entire Cowboys team did. This is a test for Olave, who had a very quiet week one. Because entering the year, talking to Brian Baldinger, talking to all these NFL analysts, they're just like, we could wake up in December and Chris Olave will already have 100 targets, right? He could finish the year with like 120. In that week one performance against Carolina, he had two targets, 2 catches, 15 yards, or 11 yards, my bad, 5.5 yards per catch. Pretty ho-hum. So, I mean, can he be a bigger part of the offense this week? I think it's a big question.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about it because they didn't need Chris Olave to stretch the field and be that dude for them. Obviously, the combination of him and Rashid Shaheed, I think, gets slept on a lot, too, in the NFL for whatever reason. Maybe because they're not these big physical-type receivers.
That's why. That's why. They're not big.
But they got speed, man. Speed kills.
That's exactly what the Cowboys secondary is prepared for. I mean, another guy, fifth-round rookie corner, Caitlin Carson, via this NFL.com article, talked about, I feel like he got speed, talking about Olave. All the Saints receivers in general have speed. So,
First Take brought to you by Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars Rewards destination. We'll be back with more of it right after this. Stay tuned here on WWL. Back here closing out the first hour of First Take, getting ready for the Bud Light countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon coming up at 10 a.m. Then we got kickoff in Dallas against the Cowboys noon. And looking forward to that start. I know we got plenty of other action to talk about as well. NFC South. Week one, guys, we saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers obviously getting a win, and the other two teams, Atlanta Falcons, and obviously the Carolina Panthers coming up with losses in their debuts.
Atlanta's kind of in trouble.
A little bit
in trouble. And we were all kind of slamming the Michael Penix pick. Kirk Cousins can't move, Steve.
I was going to say, they might be going to Penix a lot sooner than expected.
He can't move. Like, they weren't even calling play action. Like, the average yards per, like, movement in his dropbacks was, like, 3. And if you watch, there's plenty of videos of this on social media, especially Twitter, where you just see him and all the passing plays that he had for the Falcons. He's not moving out of the pocket at all. He's a statue. And he's not comfortable with that Achilles injury. And so they're playing the Eagles this week, the other NFC East team that's, you know, top of the pile in the NFC. And then they play the Chiefs in week 3. So while the Saints have a tough early season schedule, in that week 4 matchup against Atlanta, I mean, that could be an 0-3 Falcons team. You could have a chance to bury them early.
Coming up, top of the hour news, then more First Takes. We'll be right back on WWL. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is up? Happy Sunday, everybody. Week 2 of the NFL season has the Saints in Dallas today to take on the 1-0 Cowboys. Both teams looking to build on their early success. The Saints with a 37-point drubbing of the Panthers in Week 1. Hopefully they can continue that momentum into this matchup against a Dallas Cowboys squad that I think everybody recognizes is a clear step up in competition. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long and Cullen Steele taking you till 10 a.m. That's when we'll hear from the Cajun Cannon, get his take on this matchup between the Cowboys and Saints. And after that, a noon start out in Jerry's World in Dallas between the Cowboys and Saints. The best play-by-play and color duo with Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister taking you to game time there. And then after the matchup, we'll be on in the Ciroc Point after with the Cajun Cannon taking your calls, sounding off till 6 p.m. I want to hear from you now as well, Hoodats. While you're getting ready for this game, what are you looking forward to? Your biggest keys to this matchup on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. That's 504-260-1870. Going into this game, our sideline reporter Jeff Nowak got a chance in the locker room to catch up with safety Tyrann Mathieu, who is instrumental in that key success to the victory over the Panthers. Had a nice fumble recovery, caused the fumble, and then jumped on it. Well, Tyrann, we know, is a big leader of this team, and here's what he had to say with our sideline reporter Jeff Nowak.
When, you know, you have a big win like that, and the kind of resounding thing, like, oh, it was just the Panthers. Like, that's, you hear that a lot. Do you use that? Is that something that you can use as motivation in terms of, like, obviously you don't want to listen to all the analysis or anything, but when is that something you can use? I'm just curious.
For sure. I think, like for us, man, as players, like we don't disrespect, you know, really any opponent. You know what I mean? And we know too, like, and you know as well, like, man, it's like, man, you can have a great team, and it's still hard to do what we did Sunday. You know what I mean? But we do understand that, man. Like we just in that position to where we have to continuously like prove that we could play with the big boys. I think, you know, like if we're able to win this game this week, then next week it's gonna be the same. But can they beat the Eagles? You know what I mean? And so, yeah, man, like, you know, we just got to keep our head down and just keep doing what we're doing. Like, we know we're a good defense, but, it's going to be those times in the season where, like we got to prove that consistently.
And obviously, you know, you were the Chiefs, you went to the Super Bowl. Is it easier or more difficult when everyone's giving you all the credit in the world versus when no one's giving you any credit? I'm just...
Man, I think it's equally, difficult. Like when you're winning, like everybody wants you. Like everybody has a target on your back. And then it's like, when you're losing, are you capable of winning? It's like people find reasons to kind of dismiss, you know, why you won. You know what I mean? So, I think they're both like just different, like challenging places to be in.
How nice was it when you forced the fumble and it just happens to bounce right back into your arms like that?
Well, that's how it used to be. At least that's how it used to feel. And I came into the season and I was like, man, I always find myself getting intercepts, but like I think I have maybe like 7 forced fumbles, and I'm like, you know, like how can I get to 40, 20, and 15 forced fumbles? You know what I mean? So like that was like an emphasis for me this season, was to like not just focus on catching picks, like find a way to punch a ball out. You know what I mean? So that was like a good like little confidence, little booster, momentum booster, because I haven't, you know, forced one of those, you know, in a while. You know what I mean? So I know I had that one like 2 years ago on a goal line, but Sam Darnold, like, come on, man. Like, I don't even count that. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
I think it was Von Bell his last year here. It was like he had magnets on him or something.
Yeah.
Like every time a ball was on the ground, we just end up with him.
Yeah, I always tell my teammates, you know, anytime y'all force a fumble or tip a ball, just make sure I'm the beneficiary.
Gotcha. I appreciate it.
Tyrann Mathieu, Saints safety, giving some shade there to Sam Darnold, mentioning, yeah, the last time I had a fumble recovery was against him, but man, that doesn't count. That was big against the Saints, Saints-Panthers game, obviously, helping sway that momentum, and it just seemed like the Saints in that game put the foot on the gas pedal right from the get against the Carolina Panthers. That opening drive, oh so key, going down the field, getting points. They ended up getting a turnover the very next offensive play from the Carolina Panthers, who got the ball with Bryce Young throwing a pick and ending up with three turnovers on the day for the Saints. Tyrann Mathieu part of that with that one fumble recovery, and he punched it out, recovered it. Need more of that from the Black and Gold, who have been pretty successful in the turnover margin the last couple of years. Those sack numbers is what we're looking for the uptick in, and we saw that in week one, obviously, with Alante Taylor being a stud for the Saints, racking up three sacks, being the tied for the lead in sacks in the NFL after week one. We'll see if he's still utilizing that shape and form come in this game. But Dennis Allen, like I've mentioned, had some pretty good success in his career against Dak Prescott at quarterback. These Saints versus Cowboys matchups have been typically close, tight games, and definitely expecting another one in this showing. I think the Saints go into this matchup either 6, 6.5 point underdogs in betting circles, depending on where you're looking. But it feels like this is going to be one of those games that comes down to the wire. And both kickers on these squads have some pretty impressive legs, so we could end up seeing a field goal type game in this matchup. Speaking of field goals, want to give a shout out to Blake Groupie of the Saints. Cullen, asking for that clip a little early here, but Groupie was 4-for-4 last week, obviously not including extra points. Let's just get a listen to Mike Haas's call of Groupie's made field goals last weekend.
Groupie stands off to the left, takes his steps, snap, kick is away, and the kick is good! Blake Groupie from 57 yards out. So Blake Groupie will come in. This one much closer as the Hayball puts it down at the 34. So it'll be a 44-yarder for Groupie, who has already connected for a career-long 57 yards. This snap is good, the hold is good, and the kick is good. So this will be from 52, kicking towards the Smoothie King Center from the left hash mark. His rookie punter, Mathieu Hayball, with the hold, and the kick is away, and Blake Groupie just keeps pounding it in. So Groupie will come in for a 39-yarder. He's already connected on his first three and make it his first four.
12 points out of Blake Groupie, a 57-yarder, 44-yarder. Also nailed his 52 and a 39-yard field goal.
Steady Eddie, as Bobby called him back during the second guest show last Monday. And I mean,
I know, like you mentioned, though, too, right away, the Cowboys kicker also had a pretty impressive kick as well.
So that's the whole thing when you were talking about, oh, it could come down to a field goal. Deuce talked about the importance of special teams in this game, where it's just like you can't really get up to go use the restroom because something could happen. Like, both teams have really electric returners, for one, in the punt and kick return games. But also, the field goal kickers are elite. Like, Blake Groupie had a fantastic week one performance. Brandon Aubrey is one of the best kickers in football right now. And against Cleveland, he drilled a 66-yard field goal, which would have tied the NFL record for a regular season kick, and he hit it with room to spare. But there was a delay of game penalty, so it took him back 5 yards. And this was, I believe, at the end of the first half, if I'm remembering correctly from watching the game. They brought him out there for a 71-yarder. And I was just like, please, like, give it a shot.
Let's see it, right?
Because Bobby's been talking all offseason about, like, it, sooner rather than later, someone's going to hit from 70-plus. And it's going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, right? And, I mean, Brandon Aubrey's got such an electric leg that he could probably do it. Maybe it would be tight, right? Obviously, nobody's ever hit from 70 in a regular season game. But they were lining him up there for 71, and then they decided not to do it. I'm like, you cowards! Give him a chance. Let him try it. It would have been so fun, but they ultimately did not do that. So if it comes down to a field goal, you know, at the end of the game, I think both teams feel very confident in their kickers.
Yeah, and obviously the conditions won't be an issue. Indoor stadium, so weather will not be a factor. Perfect kicking conditions for both guys.
Yeah, real quick as well, as far as the Saints' success against the Cowboys recently, I got a couple numbers here. I might be still in Bobby's thunder a little bit because I know he loves to talk about this. Dallas leads the series 18-13. But New Orleans, and it says that they've won 6 of 10, but in reality, they've won 10 of their last 14 against the Cowboys. So they've really searched here.
It definitely
late.
Doesn't feel like that.
No, the last couple, they've lost, I guess, technically 3 of their last 5. But they went on a streak from basically 1998 until 2013, where they won, what, 7 of 8? Or maybe 8 of 9 against this Cowboys squad? So the last time that they won in Dallas, though, was before it was referred to as AT&T Stadium. It was then referred to as Cowboys Stadium, before Jerry World and all that good stuff. They won in 2012, a 34-31 overtime game. As far as their recent games at AT&T Stadium, in 2014, they lost 38-17. And then 2018, they lost 13-10. But the last couple games in the Superdome, they're 2-1. The most recent game they played against the Cowboys in the Caesars Superdome in 2021. That was the last time the Saints played the Cowboys.
Wow.
It's been a while here. So it's a long overdue matchup, and I'm really excited to see what happens.
Yeah, looking at these two teams, I think obviously tons was expected of the Cowboys going into this season. Not so much for the Saints, but obviously the team raised some eyebrows for sure after that 37-point victory week one.
So another thing to note here too, last year, and this is looking at last year's rankings, the Cowboys and the Saints were both elite in turnover margin.
Yeah.
The Cowboys were plus 10, the Saints were plus 11. That was 5th and 3rd, respectively, in the NFL. Both of them, after the week one performance, are plus 2. That was a huge reason why, for one, the Saints blew out the Panthers. They were plus 2 in the turnover margin.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys were also plus 2 against Cleveland, which is why they smoked them 33-17, and it wasn't really that close. So you have two teams that really like to, you know, create turnovers and protect the ball. So how can you figure out how to get to plus 1 in this game against a Cowboys team that, you know, is trying to say the same thing? Both teams are plus 2. If the Saints finish this game and they're plus 3, maybe plus 4 in the turnover margin, I mean, you're feeling really solid about their chances to potentially pull off an upset here, because they create extra possessions, give your offense extra chances at it. At the same time, the Cowboys are not an easy team to get turnovers against and win the turnover battle against, because, as I mentioned, just last year they were plus 10. And they're already plus 2 this year.
I definitely feel more confident in the Saints defense, though, going into this matchup, just because I know Dennis Allen been there, done that, and knows what to do against a guy like Dak Prescott. Just concerned to see what this offensive line, how they hold up now week 2 against a Dallas defense that's a lot more formidable than the Panthers front, and expecting definitely a lot of pressure coming Derek Carr's way. And we know some injuries, obviously, along the O-line for the Saints. That has been a question mark going into the season, as it was if they don't have Fuaga able to play today, and there's some other, you know, questions at that left tackle spot, you know, how's that going to affect the entire offensive line going forward? And I know that Lucas Patrick, too, even is dealing with some injury, but was not listed as questionable at all for this status in this game with a toe injury. He's a full go. But the offensive line concerns, it'll be interesting early on to see how the Cowboys attack the Saints, and then how the black and gold are able to, I guess, support and hold up against it in the run game and in the pass rush.
You know, it's kind of funny. If you look at it, the Cowboys, with the 33-17 win over Cleveland last week, Kevontae Turpin, who, as we mentioned, the two electric returners on this team, right? Turpin for the Cowboys and then Rasheed for the Saints. He had a house call, 60-yard house call in the third quarter of that game. So in reality, I mean, their offense accounted for 26 points against a really strong Cleveland defense. So you can't take anything away from them. But last year, they were averaging just under 30 points per game. It's at 29.9. This is going to be a test for the Saints defense. And we'll get to Deuce's keys for the game in just a little bit here. But his number one thing was bully this team. Like, they have all the flashiness. They have what you want from a high-powered, high-octane type of offense. Go bully him. And I love that from Deuce. So we'll hear that clip in a little bit, too.
Want to hear from you on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. It's 504-260-1870 here on First Take. Getting ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff coming up 10 a.m. with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. That's leading up to a noon start in Dallas, Jerry's World, AT&T Stadium, Saints and Cowboys. Stick right here on WWO. We'll be back after the break.
Yeah, I mean, we know they're a good team, disciplined team, has great players. But, you know, I think we are that, too. So I think it'd be a good matchup, and I guess we're going to see.
Chase Young has been an impressive addition to the Saints squad. My wife was at the game for week one in the Superdome, and she said, man, that guy is just massive. I think that's pretty much everybody's initial impression of Chase Young. And also, like I'm saying, Charlie, a massive addition for this pass rush. And I think it's been Obviously, a big addition, and it's paying off early for this team with pressure.
I want to say it was Nowak that came on with us, like, one of the first training camp practices out in Irvine. He's just like, this is a gigantic human being. Like, there's a reason that Chase Young was the number two pick in the draft a few years back. And as far as his performance in week one, like, yes, no sacks recorded, but the pressures were there.
Exactly.
He was getting after Bryce Young. He was forcing incompletions by the pressure that he was getting on him.
And basically, Alante's, what, third sack, I think, was all, you know, a lot of credit to, yes, to Chase Young occupying some guys.
And so we have a couple texts coming in here, Steve, as well. Let's see. This one is from 5147. Dak will get pressured a ton today. Bet the under. 46.5.
Ooh, some betting advice.
Yeah, there you go. Bet the under. That's pretty fun. I think if it's the under and if it's a tight game, that plays into exactly what the Saints want here. As far as Dak getting pressured a bunch, that is a gigantic key. We cannot emphasize enough. Like, because stopping the run is one thing. The Cowboys don't necessarily have the most elite rushing attack. We mentioned that earlier as well, Steve. Their running back situation with, like, you got old man Ezekiel Elliott, who had a solid performance week one. I don't want to take anything away from him. Rico Dowdle is like their RB2. Like, this is a team that you can imagine, especially in a stacked running back draft, is going to be looking for RB pretty early on in 2025. But this year, like, their running back situation isn't great. Their rushing attack isn't great. So if you can stop the run and force them into those obvious passing downs like we talked about and get pressure on Dak, get them on the ground, like, yeah, that's a gigantic key. We have a bunch of texts coming in about the line play as well. This one is from 8942, the key to win. Every game is winning at the line of scrimmage. I agree. Cowboys have a rookie O-line, as do the Saints. Yeah, they actually both do have really young offensive lines. And just like I was impressed and surprised with the Saints' offensive line performance against a bad Panthers defensive line in week one, you know, they gave up 3 sacks in that game, but Cleveland's defensive line is fantastic. Right. So the fact that the Cowboys' young offensive line held up pretty well is a good sign for them. The Saints' defensive line, I think, is also one of the strengths of their team, so it's going to be a test for them again. Let's see. As do the Saints, which stand tall against an opposing veteran D-line. That is one of the scariest units on this really strong Cowboys team, as we've mentioned a few times throughout the show, is their D-line is pretty frightening. With DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons coming off the edges, you got to be able to run the ball and not get in those passing downs where Derek Carr has two guys potentially breathing down his neck because they're elite pass rushers. So we'll see what happens.
Definitely would love to see the Saints cruising to a victory. Well, the Saints are partnered with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. You can mingle with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fan Cruise, so make sure you check that out. Who Dat Nation, going to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line early this morning on First Take, 504-260-1870 if you want to chime in. And all the way from down under, we've got our representative Who Dat in Australia, Tony. Tony, how you doing this morning, man?
What's up, Tony?
How are you, Steve and Sally?
What's going on, man?
The O-line and tight ends, they got to stop Parsons and Lawrence getting a car, and the D's, they got to stop Elliott and CD Lamb getting yards.
Yeah, CD Lamb is the one that really scares me. I mean, as we mentioned, he's a top three receiver in the league, and even though he had a pretty quiet week one performance, he still had 10 targets. And I think you can probably expect that again this week, somewhere around that. So stopping CD, agree 100%. Same thing with the offensive line. And Tony, we have a texter here, Cyborg Saint, that agrees with you. He said, the O-line is the key to this game for us. Give Carr protection and open the holes for Kamara. Olave is going to shine today, too. Okay, I like that. I like that optimism. Who dat? Who dat, Cyborg Saint, and who dat, Tony? So with Kamara, like, yes, the offensive line is going to be huge, opening up space for the run game. As we mentioned, the Browns had decent success against the Cowboys in week one in the run game, averaging 4.9 yards per carry, but they just didn't have the volume. They had 19 carries because they got blown out, and they had to throw the ball more often than not. So as far as the Saints in their run game, if they can stay committed to it early on, right, and if the defense can keep, because the defense had issues with this last year, Steve, we remember, the Saints' defense had issues early on in games where teams would jump out to early leads, and that's why, you know, they lost so many games, is because the Saints were playing from behind so much. If the Saints' defense can hold this Dallas offense down early on and the Saints can establish their run game, I think both of those things are gigantic.
Looking at another one on that receiving core, and doesn't get maybe enough credit for the seasons he's been able to put together, but Brandon Cooks is a problem, too. He's a good complement to CeeDee Lamb, and obviously the Saints know him well, was a former first-round draft pick of this team. He's bounced around a ton of places, New England, the Rams, the Texans, the Cowboys. Yeah, he came into the league in 2014.
Wow.
I know, hard to believe.
Yeah, that is.
But definitely a burner wild. That's definitely dangerous. This team's going to have to watch out for besides a guy like CeeDee Lamb in that receiving core. But other than that, not really a ton of passing weapons there. And I know the tight end for the Cowboys Jake is a Ferguson. Bit banged up too.
Jake Ferguson, who Cullen and I were watching this when we were watching the Browns and Cowboys game, it looked like his leg was messed up. But it ended up just being a sprained MCL. I know that he put out a tweet, God is good, and it's just like, good for you, Jake Ferguson. You avoided a serious injury. He was listed as doubtful for this game. I don't think he's playing, Steve. I think it's probably, I'm 90% sure that he's not going to play. I'm pretty certain that he's not going to be going. So if you're looking at the Cowboys' pass-catching weapons, last week, CeeDee Lamb, 10 targets, 5 receptions, 61 yards, along with 34. So the explosive plays are always a possibility with someone like CeeDee.
Right.
Brandon Cooks was number two on that list. He had, as you mentioned, the number two wide receiver with Dallas, 7 targets, 4 receptions, 40 yards, and a touchdown, along with 21. But the third guy, as far as targets goes and receptions, was Jake Ferguson. Outside of that, you know, you have a couple different guys, a couple running backs there. But the two guys, as you mentioned, CeeDee Lamb is by far and away number one, one of the top receivers in football. But Brandon Cooks, as you mentioned, is a solid complementary piece at number two. Without Jake Ferguson, it's actually going to be pretty interesting who's going to be the third guy in targets for this team for the Cowboys in this game.
Cullen just shared this with me, Charlie, from Jane Slater, who's covering this Cowboys-Saints matchup for the NFL Network. Or is she still with the NFL Network?
I believe so.
Yeah. The Cowboys monitoring tight end Jake Ferguson, who I am told is trending out, but not officially ruled out yet. Up next, Luke Schoonmaker, who has 8 receptions last season as a rookie.
Right. So, I mean, I would imagine that Ferguson's probably going to be out. He was listed as doubtful. They didn't want to completely rule him out for this game. But a sprained MCL, dude, just like sit the bench for a couple weeks. Get healthy. Like, and I'm not even just saying that as a Saints media person.
Right.
Like, just spend some time on the bench and you'll be okay.
What you got for us, Cullen?
She's actually, I found another tweet where she kind of builds on that, where she says that earlier this week, Ferguson told me coaches wanted to see his power on routes and in play and didn't want him out there if he was 60 to 80%.
I mean, you're like not even a full week removed from a sprained MCL. Like, I don't see him playing. So, but that's kind of my point in all this, is that he was the third leading receiver as far as catches and targets goes.
Yeah.
The yards were a little bit lower. The 15 yards on 3 receptions isn't great. But who is Dak going to be looking to fill that void in their tight end room?
Hopefully our cornerbacks.
Exactly. So, but at the same time, like Luke Schoonmaker, who, as you mentioned, had 8 catches as a rookie, you still got to, you know, honor it and defend it, right, as a Saints defense. At the same time, that's a pretty big void, I would say.
Yeah, looking at this Saints squad going up a Cowboys offense that is, you know, looked at as one of the more, I guess, high powered because
the Cowboys?
Because they do have a guy like CeeDee Lamb.
They were number one in the NFL in scoring last year.
And
they were just under 30 points per game.
I know their ability to be able to put up points early on, and we talked about fast starts. Well, Saints head coach Dennis Allen was asked about that as well, talking about how come this Dallas Cowboys squad is so good at fast starts in games, and this is what DA had to say.
Well, it just tells me that they come into games prepared. I think their coaching staff does a really good job of getting them prepared to play the game, and they execute at a high level, you know. So I don't think it's anything that's, like, unique in terms of, like, running exotic plays or anything like that. I think, you know, they give you some different looks in all three phases, but I think it really just comes down to they got a good plan and they come out and they execute.
There you go, coming out and just executing. I think that's the biggest thing. You can at least give the Cowboys and their coaching staff credit. They seem prepared going into games, regular season games at least, we'll say.
No, for sure. But that was a big point of emphasis, I think, for the Saints last week in their opener against Carolina, where, let's remember, people were still like, oh, some people were picking the Panthers in that game. And the Saints defense came out and just smothered them.
Yeah, like, I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what are we doing here? So, but at the same time, it's a huge step up in competition because once, like, as I mentioned, the Cowboys offense scored just under 30 points per game last year.
Yeah.
It was at 29.9. And they put up 33 against Cleveland, but you got a Kevontae Turpin's house call in that game, a punt return for a touchdown. They put up 26 points in that game. So against a good Browns defense that had given up basically 13 points per game at home last year. So it's still a really strong performance. This is a strong offense for a reason. It's going to be a huge test for the Saints defense.
I wonder if Deshaun Watson needed a massage after that game.
Yeah, probably so. All the, I mean, what, 17 quarterback hits, Steve? Like six sacks? Yeah, I'm sure he wasn't feeling too good after it.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get more into our Oakwin Heart Jewelers talking text line. You can sound off this game day, folks. What are you up to pre-gaming? 504-260-1870. Want to hear from you. We'll be back with more of First Take after this right here on WWL.
Out of the shotgun is Carr. Panthers bring four. Carr stands, now fires it deep. Middle of the field. Rashid Shaheed. See you later. Bye. Touchdown, New Orleans. Rashid Shaheed!
Oh, yes, indeed. We want to see more of that today. Carter Shaheed hooking up for that big touchdown. A total of 200 receiving yards for the Black and Gold in week one.
Yes,
Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program this year. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Current donations now, $2,000. And we'll keep running tab of that throughout the season for the Black and Gold. And we kind of touched on it, Charlie, that kind of silent week one was Chris Olave, and expecting much more from him in this week two matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that you're gonna need to see your number one receiver showing up in a big way against the Cowboys.
Yeah, our guy Cyborg Saint on the text line said Olave is going to shine today. I would love that. I mean, if he's going up against Trevon Diggs, and as we mentioned, the numbers for Diggs, where he had basically a 30.6 defensive passer rating against, which was top three in the NFL for guys that were targeted more than five times, he's a strong corner. Like, the Cowboys have at least a stud at basically every position group on their roster, and that's what kind of makes it tough. The running back room is a little bit weak, but as far as, I mean, CeeDee Lamb and Dak, obviously regular season Dak.
Yeah.
Jake Ferguson, but now, as we mentioned, he's doubtful, likely going to be out in the tight end room. On the offensive line, it's pretty interesting. They're very young there. In the cornerback room, the secondary specifically, Trevon Diggs as a cornerback one is really solid. But that matchup between Olave and potentially Diggs is one to keep an eye on, because he did have a really quiet week one as far as Olave goes, with those two receptions for 11 yards. On both targets that he got, I mean, the Saints spread the ball around week one, Steve. Like, their offense was moving efficiently against that Carolina defense. Nine different guys got a target. Shaheed, as you kind of played that touchdown there, led the team with five targets. He was actually tied with Kamara with those five targets. He had three receptions and then 73 yards and that touchdown. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Olave does, if he can have a really nice bounce back. It's not going to be easy because the Cowboys have a really solid defense. But if he can break through and have, like, I don't know, 70-something yards in this game, then the Saints are going to probably be calling upon his number pretty often, especially in those third down situations. That's something that we mentioned early on, and I said that we would get back to. The Saints' defense in third down against the Panthers was excellent. They held them to 1 of 10. The issue is that the Cowboys' defense was also great against the Browns in third downs. Are you seeing kind of a pattern here? When you go, like, plus 2 in turnovers and you hold teams to really poor third down situations, you kind of blow a team out. It's almost like it kind of matters. The third down situations for the Browns, 2 of 15 in that game against the Cowboys.
Yeah, that turnover margin, a great equalizer. Some good news, folks, seeing some from the Saints media on Twitter, the fact that Taliese Fuaga is on the field right now warming up for the Black and Gold. He is questionable with that back issue, so I'm sure right now they're kind of giving it a go, see how that tightness is doing, and if he's able to play in this game, which is a noon start right here on WWL Saints Radio.
He's a game-time decision.
Right.
The thing is with Fuaga, and as I mentioned earlier, Nowak had pointed this out. The fact that they didn't elevate any offensive linemen from the practice squad leads you to believe that he's probably going to go and that they feel decent about his chances to go. Now, if he doesn't go, that's a completely different situation, and you probably have Landon Young out there at left tackle.
I would think
against
so, yeah.
DeMarcus Lawrence. That's you feel a lot better about Taliese Fuaga, especially with the debut performance he had, Steve. Like, we talked about how the offensive line had a good showing.
Glowing reviews. Did you see Brian Baldinger's breakdown?
Yes.
Odyssey NFL Insider.
Brian Baldinger's fantastic. But he had the Baldy's breakdown with Fuaga, and he glowed about him when the Saints picked him. He really loved the draft selection.
Yeah.
But his kind of review about how Fuaga looked against the Panthers is just like college. It's exactly what you saw from him. And so if you haven't seen that and you're a Saints fan,
definitely check it out.
Worth
it for sure.
Yeah, Baldy's breakdown of Fuaga. And if you want to feel better about the Saints' first-round pick from this past year, like I felt like $1 million. So if he can go in this game, it's going to be huge because you're probably going to be having to chip Micah Parsons with Trevor Penning on the opposite side, which kind of leaves Fuaga on that island against a really strong pass rusher, DeMarcus Lawrence, who had 2 sacks against the Browns.
Yeah.
So, but the way that he looked against, granted, a poor Carolina Panthers defense was super encouraging, and it's great for early confidence building.
Definitely Baldy's breakdown, a key, especially with offensive line. Another key, whatever Deuce McAllister has to say, and we want to hear Deuce McAllister's keys to this game against the Dallas Cowboys that he talked about Friday on Fans in the Pro.
The Saints have to run the football. I don't think the Saints will be successful if they do not run the football. So whether that's first down, third down, whatever it may be, the Saints have to run the football.
To be able to maintain your offense. You can't get behind.
Not even maintain your offense. You can get behind. I'm not worried about them getting behind. They can fall down, you know, 10 points, 14 points. You still have to be able to run the football. I mean, I don't think that you're going to be very successful against this team having to drop back pass 40 times. You're just not going to be successful. Your offense is not built that way. You have to be able to run the football, even if it's some tough sledding, so to speak, as far as yards-wise. I'm fine having to punt. I'm fine having to put defense out there and let them play the game. What you can't do is give up on the run because you're not having a lot of success early, and now you allow this team just to say, oh, we can just rush the quarterback. We don't have to worry about them running the ball.
Shorten the game, so to speak, because you just got to grind it out. I mean, flip it for me.
It's not even shortening in the game. In a sense, yes, you're shortening the game. But really, that's just your offense. You're going to run the ball. That's week in and week out, and that's why taking your team on the road, you want to run the football. I mean, it's not necessarily because you fear them offensively. That's just who you are. That's your identity as a team.
So then defensively against Dallas's offense, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks at wide receiver, Ezekiel Elliott at running back.
Be a bully. That's what I want you to do. Go be a bully. That's what the Saints have to do on defense. You got to go and be a bully, because they want to play fast. They want to get it to the toys. You got to hit the quarterback. You have to affect the quarterback. And if I have to send pressure, then that means I'm going to leave somebody on the island. I don't want to get beat over the top, but I want to contest at the catch point. But you can't allow that team just to play fast. You can't allow Dak to feel comfortable in the pocket. You've got to make him move a little bit. Dak has the ability to run. I don't know if Dak really wants to run. He will, but, you know, you can't allow Dak to just break containment, but you've got to hit him as well.
And move the pocket. They'll move the pocket with him just to create some throwing lanes for him.
Well, at least
against Cleveland.
Well, that was because of that D-line. And right. I think that they respect the Saints in the same manner, you know. And so it'll be interesting. Win the line of scrimmage, run the football, and then be a bully on defense.
You heard it there from the Saints color analyst, Deuce McAllister, along
great
with Mike
stuff.
Haas there on Friday on Fans in the Pro. And talking bully ball, maybe that's why the team is wearing all black again today.
Oh,
executioner style, right?
I love it. Yeah, be a bully on defense. But as far as the run game goes, we didn't get to this clip. Deuce had a great point as well about, you know, breaking off these massive chunk runs. And he said, basically, if these receivers can finish off a block and the running back can make a defender miss, just one, because you get to those 50-50 spots. If you can make a guy miss, you can break off, as Deuce mentioned, 30-plus yard runs. That's how close the Saints' rushing attack was to having some huge plays. Now, 17 long for Alvin, 14 long for Jamal, 12 long for Taysom. That's good stuff. But you're really, really close to having those super explosive plays in the run game, and that's what you need.
Yeah, we'll take that. They averaged 4.9 a carry last game.
Do it again.
Let's do it again. Right, more bully ball. Coming back with more First Take right after this. Stay tuned here on WWL.
I think being really efficient and effective on first and second down, you know, they got good pass rushers, obviously, and, you know, you get in clear passing situations that's advantaged them. So making sure that we do a good job on first and second down, make sure we don't have any negative plays, I think is the key to the game.
St. Swiss Army Knife Taysom Hill talking there on some of the keys for a Saints victory in Dallas. Definitely think his kind of physical play, Charlie, and obviously his versatility, a key for the Saints in this one. He got a little usage in that Panthers game, but they didn't have to really dive into the depths of Taysom Hill because of how easily they were able to handle the Panthers. This matchup against the Cowboys, much different. Definitely need his physical play against a physical front like there.
We got a great text from 9995. It says, we need the Taysom Hill trifecta. Running touchdown, receiving touchdown, and passing touchdown. Who dat, baby? I love it.
Who dat?
Love it, love it, love it. As you mentioned, not really utilized much in that Panthers game, but they didn't really need to because it was such a blowout. I mean, 7 yards per carry, that'll play anywhere, right? So he had 5 attempts against Carolina, you know, probably looking for double of that if you really want to get the most out of Taysom Hill in this matchup, which you might need to. And once again, the Cowboys rush defense, 4.9 yards per carry given up to the Cleveland Browns. The Saints are anywhere near that. I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, definitely excited to see more of Alvin Kamara, too. I know he's still, you know, his future with the Saints kind of in question now, but he's been nothing but a pro and what he's doing.
Worry about the now.
Getting ready for the now, exactly like you said. Instead of, I don't want to talk about my contract, I just want to play ball.
Worry about the now. And 5.5 yards per carry for Alvin in that opener against Carolina. So once again, if the volume is there and the yards per carry stays consistent and the Saints offense is rolling, you can see something here.
That's a wrap on First Take, folks. Coming up, the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Thank you, Charlie Long. Thank you, Cullen Steele. And thank you, Who Dat Nation, getting ready for more black and gold coverage right after this. So stay tuned here on WWL and, of course, the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who Dat, be right back with the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff, coming up here on the Saints Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Yeah, I mean, we know they're, you know, a good team, disciplined team, has great players. But, you know, I think we are that too. So I think it'd be a good matchup, and I guess we're going to see.
Chase Young has been an impressive addition to the Saints squad. My wife was at the game for week one in the Superdome, and she said, man, that guy is just massive. I think that's pretty much everybody's initial impression of Chase Young. And also, like I'm saying, Charlie, a massive addition for this pass rush. And I think it's been obviously a big addition, and it's paying off early for this team with pressure.
I want to say it was Nowak that came on with us, like one of the first training camp practices out in Irvine. He's just like, this is a gigantic human being. Like, there's a reason that Chase Young was the number two pick in the draft a few years back. And as far as his performance in week one, like, yes, no sacks recorded, but the pressures were there.
Exactly.
He was getting after Bryce Young. He was forcing incompletions by the pressure that he was getting on him.
And basically, Alante's, what, third sack, I think, was all, you know, a lot of credit to, yes, to Chase Young occupying some guys.
And so we have a couple texts coming in here, Steve, as well. Let's see. This one is from 5147. Dak will get pressured a ton today. Bet the under. 46.5.
So. Ooh, some betting advice.
Yeah, there you go. Bet the under. That's pretty fun. I think if it's the under and if it's a tight game, that plays into exactly what the Saints want here. As far as Dak getting pressured a bunch, that is a gigantic key. We cannot emphasize enough. Because stopping the run is one thing. The Cowboys don't necessarily have the most elite rushing attack. We mentioned that earlier as well, Steve, their running back situation with, like, you got old man Ezekiel Elliott, who had a solid performance week one. I don't want to take anything away from him. Rico Dowdle is like their RB2. Like, this is a team that you can imagine, especially in a stacked running back draft, is going to be looking for RB pretty early on in 2025. But this year, like, their running back situation isn't great. Their rushing attack isn't great. So if you can stop the run and force them into those obvious passing downs like we talked about and get pressure on Dak, get them on the ground, like, yeah, that's a gigantic key. We have a bunch of texts coming in about the line play as well. This one is from 8942, the key to win. Every game is winning at the line of scrimmage. I agree. Cowboys have a rookie O-line, as do the Saints. Yeah, they actually both do have really young offensive lines. And just like I was impressed and surprised with the Saints' offensive line performance against a bad Panthers defensive line in week one, you know, they gave up three sacks in that game, but Cleveland's defensive line is fantastic. Right. So the fact that the Cowboys' young offensive line held up pretty well is a good sign for them. The Saints' defensive line, I think, is also one of the strengths of their team, so it's going to be a test for them again. Let's see. As do the Saints, which stand tall against an opposing veteran D-line. That is one of the scariest units on this really strong Cowboys team, as we've mentioned a few times throughout the show, is their D-line is pretty frightening. With DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons coming off the edges, you got to be able to run the ball and not get in those passing downs where Derek Carr has two guys potentially breathing down his neck because they're elite pass rushers. So we'll see what happens.
Definitely would love to see the Saints cruising to a victory. Well, the Saints are partnered with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. You can mingle with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fan Cruise. So make sure you check that out. Who Dat Nation, going to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line early this morning on First Take, 504-260-1870 if you want to chime in. And all the way from down under, we've got our representative Who Dat in Australia, Tony. Tony, how you doing this morning, man?
What's up, Tony?
How are you, Steve and Kelly?
What's going on, man?
The O-line and tight ends, they got to stop Parsons and Lawrence getting a car, and the Dewey's, they got to stop Elliott and CeeDee Lamb getting yards.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb is the one that really scares me. I mean, as we mentioned, he's a top three receiver in the league, and even though he had a pretty quiet week one performance, he still had 10 targets, and I think you can probably expect that again this week, somewhere around that. So stopping CD, agree 100%. Same thing with the offensive line. And Tony, we have a texter here, Cyborg Saint, that agrees with you. He said, the O-line is the key to this game for us. Give Carr protection and open the holes for Kamara. Olave is going to shine today, too. Okay, I like that. I like that optimism. Who dat? Who dat, Cyborg Saint, and who dat, Tony? So with Kamara, like, yes, the offensive line is going to be huge, opening up space for the run game. As we mentioned, the Browns had decent success against the Cowboys in week one in the run game, averaging 4.9 yards per carry. But they just didn't have the volume. They had 19 carries because they got blown out, and they had to throw the ball more often than not. So as far as the Saints in their run game, if they can stay committed to it early on, right, and if the defense can keep – because the defense had issues with this last year, Steve. We remember the Saints' defense had issues early on in games where teams would jump out to early leads, and that's why, you know, they lost so many games is because the Saints were playing from behind so much. If the Saints' defense can hold this Dallas offense down early on, and the Saints can establish their run game, I think both of those things are gigantic.
Looking at another one on that receiving core, and doesn't get maybe enough credit for the seasons he's been able to put together, but Brandon Cooks is a problem too. He's a good complement to CeeDee Lamb, and obviously the Saints know him well, was a former first-round draft pick of this team. He's bounced around a ton of places, New England, the Rams, the Texans, the Cowboys. Yeah, he came into the league in 2014.
Wow.
I know, hard to believe.
Yeah, that is.
But definitely a burner that's definitely dangerous. This team's going to have to watch out for besides a guy like CeeDee Lamb in that receiving core. But other than that, not really a ton of passing weapons there. And I know the tight end for the Cowboys is a bit banged up too.
Jake Ferguson, who Cullen and I were watching this when we were watching the Browns and Cowboys game, it looked like his leg was messed up. But it ended up just being a sprained MCL. I know that he put out a tweet, God is good, and it's just like, good for you, Jake Ferguson. You avoided a serious injury. He was listed as doubtful for this game. I don't think he's playing, Steve. I think it's probably I'm 90% sure that he's not going to play. I'm pretty certain that he's not going to be going. So if you're looking at the Cowboys' pass-catching weapons, last week, CeeDee Lamb, 10 targets, 5 receptions, 61 yards, along with 34. So the explosive plays are always a possibility with someone like CeeDee.
Right.
Brandon Cooks was number two on that list. He had, as you mentioned, the number two wide receiver with Dallas, 7 targets, 4 receptions, 40 yards, and a touchdown, along with 21. But the third guy, as far as targets goes and receptions, was Jake Ferguson. Outside of that, you know, you have a couple of different guys, a couple running backs there. But the two guys, as you mentioned, CeeDee Lamb is by far and away number one, one of the top receivers in football. But Brandon Cooks, as you mentioned, is a solid complementary piece at number two. Without Jake Ferguson, it's actually going to be pretty interesting who's going to be the third guy in targets for this team for the Cowboys in this game.
Cullen just shared this with me, Charlie, from Jane Slater, who's covering this Cowboys-Saints matchup for the NFL Network. Or is she still with the NFL Network?
I believe so.
Yeah. The Cowboys monitoring tight end Jake Ferguson, who I am told is trending out, but not officially ruled out yet. Up next, Luke Schoonmaker, who has 8 receptions last season as a rookie.
Right. So, I mean, I would imagine that Ferguson's probably going to be out. He was listed as doubtful. They didn't want to completely rule him out for this game. But a sprained MCL, dude, just, like, sit the bench for a couple weeks. Get healthy. Like, and I'm not even just saying that as a Saints media person.
Right.
Like, just spend some time on the bench and you'll be okay.
What you got for us, Cullen?
She's actually, I found another tweet where she kind of builds on that, where she says that earlier this week, Ferguson told me coaches wanted to see his power on routes and in play and didn't want him out there if he was 60 to 80%.
I mean, you're like not even a full week removed from a sprained MCL. Like, I don't see him playing. So, but that's kind of my point in all this, is that he was the third leading receiver as far as catches and targets goes.
Yeah.
The yards were a little bit lower. 15 yards on 3 receptions isn't great. But who is Dak going to be looking to fill that void in their tight end room?
Hopefully our cornerbacks.
yeah, exactly. So, but at the same time, like Luke Schoonmaker, who, as you mentioned, had 8 catches as a rookie, you still got to, you know, honor it and defend it, right, as a Saints defense. At the same time, that's a pretty big void, I would say.
Yeah, looking at this Saints squad going up a Cowboys offense that is, you know, looked at as one of the more, I guess, high-powered. Because
the Cowboys?
Because they do have a guy like CeeDee Lamb.
They were number one in the NFL in scoring last year. And they were just under 30 points per game.
I know their ability to be able to put up points early on, and we talked about fast starts. Well, Saints head coach Dennis Allen was asked about that as well, talking about how come this Dallas Cowboys squad is so good at fast starts in games, and this is what DA had to say.
Well, it just tells me that they come into games prepared. I think their coaching staff does a really good job of getting them prepared to play the game, and they execute at a high level, you know. So I don't think it's anything that's, like, unique in terms of, like, running exotic plays or anything like that. I think, you know, they give you some different looks in all three phases, but I think it really just comes down to they got a good plan and they come out and they execute.
There you go, coming out and just executing. I think that's the biggest thing. You can at least give the Cowboys and their coaching staff credit. They seem prepared going into games, regular season games at least, we'll say.
No, for sure. But that was a big point of emphasis, I think, for the Saints last week in their opener against Carolina, where, let's remember, people were still like, oh, some people were picking the Panthers in that game. And the Saints defense came out and just smothered them.
Yeah, like, well, I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what are we doing here? So, but at the same time, it's a huge step up in competition because once, like, as I mentioned, the Cowboys offense scored just under 30 points per game last year.
Yeah.
It was at 29.9. And they put up 33 against Cleveland, but you got a Kevontae Turpin's house call in that game, a punt return for a touchdown. They put up 26 points in that game. So against a good Browns defense that had given up basically 13 points per game at home last year. So it's still a really strong performance. This is a strong offense for a reason. It's going to be a huge test for the Saints defense.
I wonder if Deshaun Watson needed a massage after that game.
Yeah, probably so. All the, I mean, what, 17 quarterback hits, Steve? Like 6 sacks? Yeah, I'm sure he wasn't feeling too good after it.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get more into our Oakwin Heart Jewelers talking text line. You can sound off this game day, folks. What are you up to pre-gaming? 504-260-1870. Want to hear from you. We'll be back with more of First Take after this right here on WWL.
Out of a shotgun is Carr. Panthers bring 4. Carr stands, now fires it deep. Middle of the field. Rashid Shaheed. See you later. Bye. Touchdown, New Orleans.
Rashid Shaheed.
Oh, yes, indeed. We want to see more of that today. Carter Shaheed hooking up for that big touchdown. A total of 200 receiving yards for the Black and Gold in week one.
Yes,
Venture
sir.
Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program this year. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Current donations now, $2,000. And we'll keep a running tab of that throughout the season for the Black and Gold. And we kind of touched on it, Charlie, that kind of silent week one was Chris Olave, and expecting much more from him in this week two matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that you're gonna need to see your number one receiver showing up in a big way against the Cowboys.
Yeah, our guy Cyborg Saint on the text line said Olave is going to shine today. I would love that. I mean, if he's going up against Trevon Diggs, and as we mentioned the numbers for Diggs, where he had basically a 30.6 defensive passer rating against, which was top three in the NFL for guys that were targeted more than five times, he's a strong corner. Like, the Cowboys have at least a stud at basically every position group on their roster, and that's what kind of makes it tough. The running back room is a little bit weak, but as far as CeeDee Lamb and Dak, obviously regular season Dak.
Yeah.
Jake Ferguson, but now, as we mentioned, he's doubtful, likely going to be out in the tight end room. On the offensive line, it's pretty interesting. They're very young there. In the cornerback room, the secondary specifically, Trevon Diggs as a cornerback one is really solid. But that matchup between Olave and potentially Diggs is one to keep an eye on, because he did have a really quiet week one as far as Olave goes, with those two receptions for 11 yards. On both targets that he got, I mean, the Saints spread the ball around week one, Steve. Like, their offense was moving efficiently against that Carolina defense. Nine different guys got a target. Shaheed, as you kind of played that touchdown there, led the team with five targets. He was actually tied with Kamara with those five targets. He had three receptions and then 73 yards and that touchdown. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Olave does, if he can have a really nice bounce back. It's not going to be easy because the Cowboys have a really solid defense. But if he can break through and have, like, I don't know, 70-something yards in this game, then the Saints are going to probably be calling upon his number pretty often, especially in those third down situations. That's something that we mentioned early on, and I said that we'd get back to. The Saints' defense in third down against the Panthers was excellent. They held them to 1 of 10. The issue is that the Cowboys' defense was also great against the Browns in third downs. Are you seeing kind of a pattern here? When you go, like, plus 2 in turnovers and you hold teams to really poor third down situations, you kind of blow a team out. It's almost like it kind of matters. The third down situations for the Browns, 2 of 15 in that game against the Cowboys.
Yeah, that turnover margin, a great equalizer. Some good news, folks, seeing some from the Saints media on Twitter, the fact that Taliese Fuaga is on the field right now warming up for the Black and Gold. He is questionable with that back issue, so I'm sure right now they're kind of giving it a go, see how that tightness is doing, and if he's able to play in this game, which is a noon start right here on WWL Saints Radio.
He's a game-time decision.
Right.
The thing is with Fuaga, and as I mentioned earlier, Nowak had pointed this out. The fact that they didn't elevate any offensive linemen from the practice squad leads you to believe that he's probably going to go and that they feel decent about his chances to go. Now, if he doesn't go, that's a completely different situation, and you probably have Landon Young out there at left tackle.
I would think
against
so, yeah.
DeMarcus Lawrence. That's you feel a lot better about Taliese Fuaga, especially with the debut performance he had, Steve. Like, we talked about how the offensive line had a good showing.
Glowing reviews. Did you see Brian Baldinger's breakdown?
Baldy's
NFL insider.
Brian Baldinger's fantastic. But he had the Baldy's breakdown with Fuaga, and he glowed about him when the Saints picked him. He really loved the draft selection.
Yeah.
But his kind of review about how Fuaga looked against the Panthers is just like college. It's exactly what you saw from him. And so, if you haven't seen that and you're a Saints fan,
definitely check it out. For sure.
Yeah, Baldy's breakdown of Fuaga. And if you want to feel better about the Saints' first-round pick from this past year, like, I felt like $1 million. So if he can go in this game, it's going to be huge, because you're probably going to be having to chip Micah Parsons with Trevor Penning on the opposite side, which kind of leaves Fuaga on that island against a really strong pass rusher in DeMarcus Lawrence, who had two sacks against the Browns.
Yeah.
So, but the way that he looked against, granted, a poor Carolina Panthers defense was super encouraging, and it's great for early confidence building.
Definitely Baldy's breakdown, a key, especially with offensive line. Another key, whatever Deuce McAllister has to say,
yeah.
And we want to hear Deuce McAllister's keys to this game against the Dallas Cowboys that he talked about Friday on Fans in the Pro.
The Saints have to run the football. I don't think the Saints will be successful if they do not run the football. So whether that's first down, third down, whatever it may be, the Saints have to run the football.
To be able to maintain your offense. You can't
maintain your offense. You can get behind. I'm not worried about them getting behind. They can fall down, you know, 10 points, 14 points. You still have to be able to run the football. I mean, I don't think that you're going to be very successful against this team having to drop back pass 40 times. You're just not going to be successful. Your offense is not built that way. You have to be able to run the football, even if it's some tough sledding, so to speak, as far as yards-wise. I'm fine having to punt. I'm fine having to put defense out there and let them play the game. What you can't do is give up on the run because you're not having a lot of success early, and now you allow this team just to say, oh, we can just rush the quarterback. We don't have to worry about them running the ball.
Shorten the game, so to speak, because you just got to grind it out. I mean, it's, what about, flip it for me.
Yeah, it's not even shortening in the game. In a sense, yes, you're shortening the game. But really, that's just your offense. You're going to run the ball. That's week in and week out. And that's why taking your team on the road, you want to run the football. I mean, it's not necessarily because you fear them offensively. That's just who you are from. That's your identity as a team.
So then defensively against Dallas's offense, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks at wide receiver, Ezekiel Elliott at running back.
Go be a bully. That's what I want you to do. Go be a bully. That's what the Saints have to do on defense. You got to go and be a bully, because they want to play fast. They want to get it to the toys. You got to hit the quarterback. You have to affect the quarterback. And if I have to send pressure, then that means I'm going to leave somebody on the island. I don't want to get beat over the top, but I want to contest at the catch point. But you can't allow that team just to play fast. You can't allow Dak to feel comfortable in the pocket. You've got to make him move a little bit. Dak has the ability to run. I don't know if Dak really wants to run. He will, but, you know, you can't allow Dak to just break containment, but you've got to hit him as well.
And move the pocket. They'll move the pocket with him just to create some throwing lanes for him.
Well, yeah.
Against Cleveland.
Well, that was because of that D-line. And right. I think that they respect the Saints in the same manner, you know. And so it'll be interesting. Win the line of scrimmage, run the football, and then be a bully on defense.
You heard it there from the Saints color analyst, Deuce McAllister, along
great
with Mike
stuff.
Haas there on Friday on Fans in the Pro. And talking bully ball, maybe that's why the team is wearing all black again today.
Oh,
executioner style, right?
I love it. Yeah, be a bully on defense. But as far as the run game goes, we didn't get to this clip. Deuce had a great point as well about, you know, breaking off these massive chunk runs. And he said, basically, if these receivers can finish off a block and the running back can make a defender miss, just one, because you get to those 50-50 spots. If you can make a guy miss, you can break off, as Deuce mentioned, 30-plus yard runs. That's how close the Saints' rushing attack was to having some huge plays. Now, 17 long for Alvin, 14 long for Jamal, 12 long for Taysom. That's good stuff. But you're really, really close to having those super explosive plays in the run game, and that's what you need.
Yeah, we'll take that. They averaged 4.9 a carry last game.
Do it again.
Let's do it again. Right. More bully ball. Coming back with more First Take right after this. Stay tuned here on WWL.
I think being really efficient and effective on first and second down, you know, they got good pass rushers, obviously, and, you know, you get in clear passing situations that's advantage them. So making sure that we do a good job on first and second down, make sure we don't have any negative plays, I think is the key to the game.
Saints Swiss Army Knife Taysom Hill talking there on some of the keys for a Saints victory in Dallas. Definitely think his kind of physical play, Charlie, and obviously his versatility, a key for the Saints in this one. He got a little usage in that Panthers game, but they didn't have to really dive into the depths of Taysom Hill because of how easily they were able to handle the Panthers. This matchup against the Cowboys, much different. Definitely need his physical play against a physical front like there.
We got a great text from 9995. It says, we need the Taysom Hill trifecta. Running touchdown, receiving touchdown, and passing touchdown. Who dat, baby?
Love it.
As you mentioned, not really utilized much in that Panthers game, but they didn't really need to because it was such a blowout. I mean, 7 yards per carry, that'll play anywhere, right? So he had five attempts against Carolina. you know, probably looking for doubling that if you really want to get the most out of Taysom Hill in this matchup, which you might need to. And once again, the Cowboys rush defense, 4.9 yards per carry given up to the Cleveland Browns. The Saints are anywhere near that. I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, definitely excited to see more of Alvin Kamara, too. I know he's still, you know, his future with the Saints kind of in question now, but he's been nothing but a pro and what he's doing.
Worry about the now.
Getting ready for the now, exactly like you said. Instead of, I don't want to talk about my contract, I just want to play ball.
Worry about the now. And 5.5 yards per carry for Alvin in that opener against Carolina. So once again, if the volume is there and the yards per carry stays consistent and the Saints offense is rolling, can see something here.
That's a wrap on First Take, folks. Coming up, the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Thank you, Charlie Long. Thank you, Cullen Steele. And thank you, Who Dat Nation, getting ready for more black and gold coverage right after this. So stay tuned here on WWL. And, of course, the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who Dat, be right back with the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff, coming up here on the Saints Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.